You're listening to Van Sounds. I'm Phil Corbett.
It's amazing how sitting in a van for even for a short amount of time can take all your energy out. And sleeping, doesn't matter where it is, I never feel like I have a full night's sleep.
That, of course, is Van Sounds regular and tour mate Andrew Martin. For context, we've been crammed into the tour van with three other people for about 3 weeks.
It's just being on the road kind of takes that out of me. And I never feel like I'm fully rested, even though I sleep a lot.
In this episode, sleep.
In this first segment, the tables are turned and Andy points the microphone at me. So, when we were in Reading, I had this dream about Long Dog, which is this really long dog. And so, basically, I had just fallen asleep, and I had, like, this long, elaborate dream where I met this dog that was really, really long. And its snout was, like, the length of my forearm, and then its neck was, like, the length of the rest of my arm, just, like, super long. And he was really tall, and he had this, like, wiry white fur. So, anyway, I woke up and said to you, Andy, who was in the same hotel room, like, hey, how long was I asleep? And you said, I don't know, like, 5 minutes. And so I told you about, like, this super long dog and this long dream that had just happened in 5 minutes. And so 2 days later, I was thinking about Long Dog, and we were watching a movie in Sacramento at our friend's house, and I had a sort of, like, vision, I guess, of this little symmetrical shack in the middle of the desert. And it was a perfect box, and it was, like, sort of off-white adobe with a square door in the front. And inside of it were two people that were just sitting on the floor facing each other, and it was totally empty except for them, and they were, like, really pale, and they were just sitting there on the floor looking at each other. And so I'm not an illustrator by any means. I'm actually, like, really bad at drawing, but I had this unprecedented urge to draw this shack. So I got up and put shoes on and walked out to the van and grabbed my journal and walked back inside, so, like, it was a process. And I sat down and drew this little box, and then under it I drew a slightly more detailed version, and under that I drew a close-up kind of abstract version for whatever reason. And so this abstract version was a box inside of a box, with these two little circles in the center, and there was a border, and in each corner there was, like, a smaller square. And so it was, I mean, it was a very specific pattern. And so that day we drove down to Merced and sat down at a burrito shop across the street from the venue, and there was some sort of art walk festival thing going on. So we sat at the table, and right behind my chair there was a framed illustration of a drawing that was, like, insanely similar to the one I had made earlier. And it was almost, I mean, it was almost identical. Like, it was a box within a box with squares in each corner, and then connected to each corner were these little circles. So, I mean, it was really, really similar. I was thinking, you know, was Long Dog behind this? And, I mean, I think he was the one that led me to this vision. So I was very specifically thinking about him when I had this vision of this shack. So I was sitting by this nearly identical drawing of an abstract version of that shack, and the artist was there showing his art, and I showed him my journal, and as I opened it, I spilled a beer everywhere, and then I had to clean it up, and I got back and showed it to him, and he, like, wasn't even impressed. Like, he couldn't care less. He was just like, oh, that's cool. So I think he was simply a mouthpiece for Long Dog. He was just, like, a vessel of delivery. And, I mean, basically, as of yet, I don't know what Long Dog is trying to tell me, but he's got my attention, you know. So, if you're out there, Long Dog, I'm listening.
That was Phil Corbett talking about his Long Dog animal shaman dream. This is Andrew Martin reporting for Van Sounds. Out.
It was a place of mental squalor, the house in which we laid awake, separated mainly by levels of inebriation. At first, I was fortunate enough to catch a couple hours of sleep while two people fought on the balcony, barely outshouting those who weren't. I had no blanket when I fell asleep, my sleeping bag out of commission, covered in the urine of a three-legged chihuahua. So I slept fully clothed, in the open near a bed on a pad on a hardwood floor. My hood was pulled tight around my eyes when I was first woken by a gal who shook my sleeping chest and shoulders. I played dead as she swore at me and then changed her tone.
I hope you know how much success you'll have. I hope you know how much success this band will have, she said, now laying down on the mattress above my sleeping pad, speaking with the same voice an actor would take when delivering the overly sentimental last lines of a romantic tragedy. Mind you, she was speaking to a person she thought was sleeping. Though my eyes were covered, my nose and mouth were exposed, and I tried desperately not to laugh at the crazy shit coming out of her mouth. She left, but less than an hour later, I was again shaken awake. I ignored her until she put her fingers on my mouth, and I swatted her hand. It was a different girl, one of the balcony fighters, shit-faced drunk and stumbling over each word, offering half of her bed, though, the mattress next to me. I obliged, still fully clothed, her pit bull curled between us. But she made her way toward me, and within 30 minutes, she latched onto my back, swinging her legs around mine, lacing her fingers between my own, trying to rub my neck and chest. I had no interest and again played dead, hood still up, and she put her mouth to my ear. There are worse things, she said, than me force cuddling you. A kid from my hometown stumbled across the room and through the hardwood hallway to an open bathroom where he puked for an hour, violent heaving, amplified by the hall's natural reverb. He returned with booming hiccups, which prompted a yell from the girl on my back. She thought it was her dog barking. I then heard screams, piercing screams, muffled by what must have been a pillow. I do not know where they came from. Bill soon too stumbled to the bathroom, and on his way back collapsed onto the foot of the bed. The girl yelled something at him, and Rachel came to pull him back into the living room. The dog shifted, and again she invited a stumbling passerby to get into bed, and he did, wrapping around her as she did to me, and I could hear his want of her. I slid back to the floor and continued not sleeping until the sun rose.
Van Sounds contributor Jared Meyer, reading from My Road Journal. Van Sounds is produced by me, Phil Corbett, recording this week in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The music was, in order, Van Sounds' opening song Church by Porter, Italics, also by Porter, I Am a Wipeout by Baseball Cap, and this song, Polita Luna, by Lydia Mendoza. You can find the show on iTunes, PRX, Twitter, and Facebook, or at our very minimal website, vansounds.org. Thanks for listening. Next week on Van Sounds, surrealism.